So please do take your Bible, turn back to Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, which was read just a few moments ago. It's on page 1520 is where it starts. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached on one of several parables of Jesus that we find in the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel that speak about the kingdom of God. You may remember that was the one, if you were here, that was the one that was the parable of the weeds. Today we're going to dive into another parable regarding God's kingdom, the parable of the sower. Now this parable is of particular importance. It is found in all three gospels, all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the first significant parable that we encounter in these three Gospels, and it's the only parable in Mark and Luke where Jesus is recorded as giving an interpretation of the parable. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells the meaning of this parable. He also tells the meaning about the parable of the weeds and a third parable, the parable of the net. But the only parable where Jesus is recorded as giving the meaning of it for the three places where it occurs, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is the parable of the sower. And finally, all three of these gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each record Jesus answering the question of his disciples about why he speaks to the people in parables in the first place. In Matthew's gospel, that response begins in verse 10 of the text. And what Jesus uses in his reply to the disciples' question, is a version of the quote that we read earlier found in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. In Matthew, it begins, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand." Now, that's a little puzzling, isn't it, when you hear that response out of Jesus' lips? Is Jesus saying that the reason he speaks to people in parables is so they won't understand who he is, so they won't perceive the reason for his coming? In other words, is what Jesus saying by quoting Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 is that he speaks in parables so that people will not respond to his message and they won't repent and they won't be saved? Is that what Jesus means? Well, as we think about that, of course, that's absurd. I mean, that's exactly the opposite of all that we know about Jesus and all that we see about Christ's teaching in the New Testament. Remember, one of the things that set Jesus apart from the other teachers in the law was that in the eyes of the people, he was spoken of as the one who taught with clarity and with authority. You'll find that recorded in the first chapter of Matthew, also in the seventh chapter of Matthew and the first chapter of Mark. So what are we to make of this? What are we to make of the fact that Jesus explains the reason why he taught in parables by quoting what on the surface sounds like a troubling text out of the book of Isaiah? Well, in all things parables, I always consult our brother Klein in his book on that. And he makes the comment that only the key to understanding this parable comes from if a proper understanding of the Old Testament lesson of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. And in fact, understanding that text is the reason behind the origin of the parable. So we need to not misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He's not trying to befuddle or confuse people by teaching them in parables. Rather, what Jesus is doing is he is speaking prophetically. He is in the tradition of the Old Testament prophets. As God's anointed Messiah, Christ stands in this wonderful tradition of the Old Testament prophets, whose message often came with a word of both judgment and warning. And like the Old Testament prophets, Jesus often announced both judgment along with the deliverance of God. one and the other. It helps, I believe, if we understand Jesus' use of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, which you read and which I read a little bit ago. It's found in verses 13 through 15 of Matthew's Gospel in the 13th chapter. It helps if we understand Jesus using this text as descriptive. Jesus is describing how many people will respond to the message of God's kingdom that he is proclaiming. And he's recognizing, even as he speaks these words and speaks to the people in parables, that many have already rejected the message. And so what Jesus emphasizes when he speaks from Isaiah 6:10, found in verse 15 of Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter, he says this: "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." He's describing the reality of how some have responded to the message of the kingdom of God. And though God's judgment is certain on all those who are past hearing, as it were, Jesus still preaches and teaches in parables in order that some will respond and join Jesus in advancing God's kingdom on earth. That's why Jesus says in verse 16 of the text, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." As Klein has written, the purpose of Jesus' use of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 is to provoke hearing. It's to provoke obedience. Even as these words aptly describe what has already happened because of many people's hardness of heart. But the door is not shut, because the opportunity to respond still exists. Where parables find a willing response, further explanation is given. And where there is no response, Klein writes, the message is lost. So for those who are open, who have ears to hear, Jesus explains the parable, which he does in verses 18 through 23. The seed scattered by the sower is the message of the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom of God is what is given to us in God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And isn't it wonderful how the sower just goes about sort of indiscriminately sowing the seed? It tells us something about the generosity of God, how he wants everyone. He just puts the seed out there for all to hear and to respond to. But Jesus acknowledges some don't understand it and reject it. When they do, the evil one comes and snatches it away from them. Others receive the word with joy. Oh, what great news! But because that joy and initial reception is not followed by obedience to the word, the root of their life does not go down deep into the word of God. And so when trouble comes in life, or when persecution comes because of God's word, it's taken away. Still others, Jesus said, don't respond to the word, or in their response to the word, they are entangled by the deceitfulness, the desire of wealth, the desire to seek security in material gain or in something other than the grace and the strength and the power of God. And these desires, Jesus says, choke the word out of their lives. It doesn't take root. It's not nourished throughout their lives, with the result that the word doesn't bear fruit in their lives. Jesus teaches in this parable that the kind of hearing that matters is the kind that is met with a wholehearted and lifelong response to God's word. Did you hear? Did you hear there's four responses to God's word, right, in the parable? Four, okay. The first three, two of the responses initially are positive. One even receives the word with joy. It reminded me that many people love to hear the message about God's love and forgiveness, but would rather not be bothered by the demands of obedience acceptance of this message requires. The demands of discipleship. That when we accept the forgiving grace of God in our lives, it calls us to a lifelong obedience to its word, to the word of God. One scholar has written, "The only conversions that count in the kingdom are those confirmed by a life of discipleship." This past summer, we sought to kind of gain a deeper understanding of the book of James, a book that is often misunderstood, I believe, by many. And of course, the theme of the book of James is the call to live out our faith, that faith must be demonstrated in action. And Jesus is essentially saying the same thing, that the Word of God has to take root. And when it takes root in our life, it'll be demonstrated by our obedience and our continuing to learn and grow and understand that Word and apply it to our lives and live it out in faithful obedience. Authentic living faith is always seen in God-honoring actions, which continually places itself under the authority, both to hear and then to obey, God's word. God's word. So this parable is not only about receptivity to the word of God, it's also about fruitful and spiritually productive living. For when we listen to the word, when we truly hear the word of God, when we receive it, when we embrace the message of God's word, this message of love, this message of God's forgiveness in Christ, and the message of God's call to faithful and wholehearted obedience to this great love that we have come to know, then Jesus says, there will be much fruit, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. As God plants the people of God who in response and obedience to this good news that they have embraced with their whole hearts into the world, and the kingdom of God goes forth. Because we take the word of God throughout our lives. This parable is Jesus' word to us about the power of God's word to bear fruit in our lives if we allow it to take root in our lives, if we truly listen and let it define us, let it form us into the obedient, God-glorifying disciples that we are called to be as followers of Jesus. I want to close with just a really quick example of I think, how that word works. A couple of weeks ago when I shared from the parable of the weeds and talked about how the weeds symbolize the evil that is will always be existent in this world until Christ returns and establishes the new heavens and the new earth. And but I said, you know, we should not be discouraged by that, because as Jesus followers, as those who have this word that is being more deeply rooted in our lives, we are on the front lines of advancing the kingdom of God for our generation. That's what we're called to do and called to be. About a week later, one of our members came up to me and said, "You know what? That part about being on the front lines really captured me." And so, every day last week, I started my day by asking, "How is God asking me to advance his kingdom today? Well, that's just a wonderful example of putting into words what Jesus is calling us to do, to making the Word of God a priority in our lives, to not neglect it. And when we read it and study it, to obey it and to live it out in our lives. It's the way we get formed into the kingdom people that the world is desperate to see live out in our day. And Jesus really wants to leave us, I think, with this word of encouragement. Because as that word takes root in our lives, as we choose day by day to embrace it, to take it in, and then to live it out in obedience, well, the fruit is going to come. God is going to be glorified, and the people of this world are going to be greatly, greatly helped as we bear witness through our lives. So thanks be to God for this powerful word. Not only the opportunity to receive it, but the opportunity to be transformed by it and shaped by it. And we give thanks for this parable that God has shared with us this morning. Amen.